Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hockey fans. Welcome to another episode of the Vegas Hockey Podcast. This is going to be a new feature on the show. We're going to be doing a Wednesday midweek review for the Golden Knights, and we're going to hit on one NHL-wide topic every week. We have some exciting news to announce to everybody. Well, first, let me bring in my co-host, Chris. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you. My understanding is you're from the frozen tundra.
Yeah, well, hey, a little unseasonable weather. 31 today with a little 20-mile-an-hour wind as I'm heading into work, and I'm an electrician, so the side of the building that we're building the electric room on isn't on yet, and it's right in the crook of the tower and the podium, which is the low-rise casino area. And, yeah, it was cold today, sir.
It sounds like it. So, yeah, so let's why don't you roll out the big news?
Well, yeah, Isha and Dylan reached out to us. I did a podcast with him that I tweeted out on the @VegasHockeyPod Twitter handle. And what they've done is they've started a company that takes hockey podcasts from every team and puts them all in one place. And it sounds like a no-brainer, right? Well, they had a guy who had been doing TSN radio and was going to be doing the Golden Knights show, and he went back to TSN radio for whatever reason, and they were looking for a Vegas Golden Knight podcast, and you know, for whatever reason, we were able to fool them enough to allow us to join their network. So I guess you could say we're now the official Vegas Golden Knights podcast of the Hockey Podcast Network. And let me say thank you, Isha and Dylan. We're excited to be a part of it, and the new Wednesday show is a result of trying to get more content out for you guys. Thank you for having us as a part of it. Make sure everybody goes to @HockeyPodNet, which is kind of cool because we're @VegasHockeyPod. So if you're listening to this show, then you obviously like to listen to Hockey Talk. So go check out that site @HockeyPodNet on Twitter or HockeyPodcast.net on the web for all of their podcasts, all their hockey podcasts, and links to shows from every team in the National Hockey League. It's really cool.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a great thing, and we'll hope more people find our show, and the listenership is also a good start this year, so we're hoping this, we take that innocent climb, as they say. So ready to jump into the Vegas lane?
Well, sure. Real quick, if anyone's listening through HockeyPodcast.net and is listening to the show for the first time, first of all, welcome. I appreciate you guys listening. And second of all, my name is Mark Warner. I'm in Las Vegas and freezing today, but here I am nonetheless. And Chris is Chris Lisa. He's out on Long Island. Tell them a little bit about where they can find your Islander stuff too, Chris, before we get started.
Yeah, you can find my articles, and I have to get back to writing them because things have been crazy. But I write for the fan-sided site Eyes on Isles, so it's eyesonisles.com. The Twitter handle is Eyes on Isles, and I will be trying to come up with a new article very soon. Although, you know, they've won so many games in a row, I almost feel like superstitious that then they'll lose the game before writing an article. But
yeah, don't throw the jinx out.
Yeah, exactly. So, so you can find my stuff there, and I am on Twitter @TheNLKing. You can find me there. So, with that, So Vegas, after a rough game, as we talked about on our Saturday show, and for those listening for the first time, you can check out our Saturday show. We had Rob Sawyer on from the Hockey Writers breaking down the Edmonton Oilers and a little bit of the Pacific. We talked about the disaster against Colorado. I would say, you know, that 4-1 game was more like an 8-1 game, how they dominated and just really outshot. The numbers were ridiculous. It was somewhere in the 40s, and I know the Ducks were in the teens in shots on goals. So good bounce back for the Ducks. Nicholas Roy got his first career goal, and but you know we got it's consistency with this team. So they've played some really good games this year, and they've played a lot of bad games this year, as we've talked about. And also there was some good news yesterday on the injury front. So I'll let you break that down with Mr. Tuck, Mr. Schmidt, and Mr. Subban.
And Mr. England, who will return to practice today. And we've all been waiting for Schmidty and Tuck. And I'll be honest, I was really worried that the Schmidt knee injury, might turn into more of a Eric Halla type injury or a Paul Stastny injury that would keep them out, keep him out well into the year. He was officially removed from IR yesterday and practiced. And if he's Coach Gallant said today that if him and Tuck also return to practice today, and Coach Gallant said after the practice that they got to see how the practice, you know, how they respond to the practice. I did not expect them to be in the lineup Thursday, but it sounded to me like Gallant said if they get cleared, then they're in. And the lines at practice today, first two lines unchanged. The third line, the Cody Eakin line, Tuck was on the right side, and that moves Cody Glass over to the left side, which he's never played. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Obviously, everyone knows Cody Glass is a natural center. He's been playing right wing to Cody Eakin. Once Eakin came back, they were able to put Stastny back up on the second line, and Eakin took his third line spot. So now Cody Glass is going to slide over and play the left side with Alex Tuck returning to his natural right wing position there. And Schmidty back at practice. England also a full participant. There, he played 8 seconds of time in the Ducks game on Sunday of the third period and was not seen again. Coach Gallant said he was just a minor dinged up, but there was some speculation that he might miss some time. He was a full participant at practice today, although people might not recognize him because he was clean shaven at practice today. That was the big buzz on Twitter that they might have slipped in a doppelganger for Derek England without his beard. But no, nonetheless, he's back at practice. Subban's back at practice. It may be the first time this year the Golden Knights have a full complement of healthy players on the ice tomorrow night against the Canadiens, and none too soon, I might say, sir.
And what about Subban? Any word of if he's going to get into nets anytime soon? Because we keep harping on Fleury's workload.
I don't know. I got to believe that with Pacioretty facing his former team that and the 3 days off they've had now, that Fleury will be going against the Canadiens. It's going to be – I mean, the same way Pierre-Edouard Belmar and kudos to the Avalanche for stepping up and putting a whooping on the Golden Knights in Belly's return to T-Mobile. And, of course, he scores in the first minute, right? But I imagine the team's going to be just as fired up to get a win for Pacioretty against his former team. And then they don't play it till Saturday against Winnipeg. So, and then there's another 2 days off. I'm going through the schedule right now. There's another 2 days off before they hit the road and play Columbus Monday. So as long as there's enough time, you know, 2 days
right,
or whatever between starts, I'm going to say that they're going to keep riding Fleury.
Those days off and there, you know, they still, the playing all those games still counts, even though there's days off and things like that. So,
no question.
You know, it's still set up. You want to have that goalie fresh as a daisy, well, fresh as possible as a daisy. And I think the new analytic community within the last year or so have come out and saying you do not want your number one goalie playing more than 55 games in the regular season. It's kind of like the new gurus, the analytic gurus. That's kind of one of their mantras. Whether or not they're right, I don't know. Just food for thought.
It can't hurt.
Right. Right.
They don't have a back-to-back until Saturday, November 9th. They're in Washington. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, November 10th, they're in Detroit. I mean, so if you want to target an obvious game for Subban to come back, I would say a week from this coming Sunday, November 10th against Detroit. Every other day every other game, there's at least one day off between them. There's 2 days off before they get to Columbus on Tuesday. They play Saturday against the Jets, and then there's 2 days off. So, I mean, if you want to put Subban in at home against the Jets, I'm okay with that, I guess. Get him back on the ice before they go on the road trip, and then he won't be as rusty to play that second game of that back-to-back against Detroit. I mean, that's a reasonable expectation. You might expect. Other than that, that's real good news for the Golden Knights. The full complement of the roster.
Just got to see a little bit. We got to see more consistent play. And I think it was after the Colorado game when Mark Stone pulled everyone out, including himself, in terms of work ethic. You don't want to hear that phrase uttered again, that we have a work
ever.
Ethic. Yeah.
That's the hallmark of this Golden Knights team, is that they show up to work and they put in their work. Hard work is what got that team to the Stanley Cup. Hard work got them, into the seventh game against San Jose last season. And, you know, for the most part, we've seen it. They were slipping. They had a stinker against Philly. I'm going to say they kind of got lucky to win the Chicago game. And then the Colorado game was awful. So, you know, they say this team has 23 captains, and I have no problem with the new guy, so to speak, coming in and saying what I believe needed to be said. And they responded well against Anaheim, and I think it's going to continue. They have plenty of motivation against Montreal to keep that alive.
Okay, before we jump in to our topic for tonight, our big topic for tonight, real quick, tough news for the Blues these last couple days. Looked like they lost Tarasenko at least for the next 5 months, and with a major shoulder injury, probably good chance for the year. Look, this is not hockey back in the 1980s where you can make trades. There are very few impactful trades made up until the deadline. You can go back and look. Usually maybe one or two if you're lucky, but trading for a top six forward, good luck to you, or even a top six goal. Top four defenseman before the trade deadline, but opens the door for an opportunity like a Rob Thomas or some of these other guys. Again, no one's expecting them to be Tarasenko. It's going to have to come from within the group, and I still believe in the Blues in terms of the regular season for them. I think what it means is don't expect them to win the division, but probably fall into that two or three slot. But look, it's a major, major loss, and I know it's Tarasenko, speaking about consistency, is not at times not the most consistent player. But at the end of the day, that's a huge loss for them. And maybe down the line, come February, and they're in position, and they need to add a little scoring. And we'll get into that in our next segment here in a second. Maybe there'll be someone there that makes sense for them. Tough news for the Blues this week.
Yeah, then, and for me too, I had to drop him off my fantasy team and pick up Anthony Manta, I believe. From Detroit, I had to pick him up in place. He's pretty much the best winger available left in the league I'm in. So that Tarasenko had to drop him. It's like you said, he's a streaky player. When he's hot, he scores goals in bunches. Not really 200-foot player, I guess. I'm not – the guy's a heck of a player. Like you said, there's opportunity for a player like Thomas to step up, and obviously they're going to make a roster change if they haven't already. I'm sure they have. With the St. Louis Blues, I think they're going to get the next man up mentality. And, yeah, you're going to miss 30 to 40 goals, right? I think they're still going to be okay in the long run. It's a tough hit, and you know, come the trade deadline, you might be able to pick up a depth style winger who can, you know, they're a 200-foot team. So I mean, it's nice to have a player like Tarasenko, obviously, but I think their style, they can absorb that hit better than some other teams that would rely more on that kind of offense, if you know what I'm saying. I think St. Louis will be good to go.
So why don't we take a sneak peek at the trade deadline? And really, you're looking at two things here when it comes to the trade deadline in terms of who's going to be available. You're going to look at a team who's not really in the race and they're selling. And you're looking at players who, for the most part, are going to be unrestricted free agents, and they're going to be looking to move on from them. So, you know, for me right now in perusing the league, you know, teams that I have earmarked as, you know, will be sellers or good chance of being sellers, you got the Devils, you got the Rangers, you got Ottawa, you have Detroit, you have Minnesota, and you have LA. And, you know, looking again, you know, Detroit's got a couple of veteran defensemen in Mike Green and Trevor Daley. Minnesota's got Mikko Koivu at age 36, captain material. Not the player they once was, but could help a cup contender, maybe like a guy like that going to St. Louis, although within the division. LA has kind of got, you know, some hodgepodge players that could help people, from Trevor Lewis to Kyle Clifford, you know, Tyler Toffoli, if he can ever get consistent back to the player he once was. Ottawa's got a whole gang of guys led by J.G. Peugeot, but they have some veterans, Ron Hainsey, so Nemstikov, Boddicker. But the two guys I would really, the two teams I would keep an eye on, and look, they're going to hope that they're in the race, but they're really playing for, I think, for the future. And that's the Devils and the Rangers. And the Rangers have kind of been helter-skelter so far. They, at times they've looked good, like last night, being the Tampa Bay Lightning. At times they've looked really bad, and you realize this team is going, trying not anyone to notice, they're going through a rebuild. So, you know, Chris Kreider's a guy who's a pending UFA who's going to get paid, and they've invested a lot in forwards, both from two top 10 draft picks the last two drafts to making Panarin one of the highest paid players in the league with their salary cap. I think they're going to do with him what they did with Kevin Hayes last year, and that's, you know, I don't think it was, you know, to me, if they wanted to keep Chris Kreider, they would have signed him in the summer. So, and then the other guy to watch out for, and by the way, Chris Kreider would be a really nice fit on the St. Louis Blues, that kind of player. And then
I agree.
And then we have the Devils with Taylor Hall, and don't go to sleep on Sammy Vatanen, also another UFA. So what the Devils do, they desperately want to keep Hall. He is, if you don't buy, let's say, the beginning of December, start reading that they're making progress on a deal, you know, he has to be signed by the new year, or they got to move him for the best deal they can get. So it's not exactly a huge list. There are other notable players who are pending UFAs, like a Backstrom or like a Holtby from Washington. But Washington is in this thing. They think they can make another run at the Cup. Those guys aren't going anywhere. And, you know, even if at the end of the day they wind up losing them, so be it. So I think, you know, I think this year's trade deadline, I got a funny feeling, is all going to be about Taylor Hall and some nice pieces in between there. But also what that means is for these other teams is, you know, the shorter the list, be it if even if it's, you know, a nice player like a Vatanen or like a Koivu, if you will, you can get more from them because there's less available on the market and more teams in the mix. So I think the good news for teams like the Rangers and the Devils, if they do go that route, is I think they can do very well, even though it's a rental for a Taylor Hall and a Chris Kreider.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let me throw a team at you that might be a little on the bubble at the deadline if they don't pick it up. What pieces do you think Dallas would be willing to move out? Would they move on from Ben?
Yeah, that's a tough contract. That's a tough one know, that, you know, here's the thing. When people, the teams that are in the race, who are going for it, they almost never want to trade anyone who's helping them on their current roster. So you're talking about, you know, first-round picks or multiple draft picks, including a first-rounder, and blue-chip prospects, or as blue of a blue-chip that you can get. So when you're talking about a trade that would involve a Jamie Benn, also from the salary cap standpoint, making all that work, but assuming that does, they want a hockey trade. They want, you know, they're going to want multiple players back. They're going to want so that's more of an off-season, I would think. I mean, never say never. Obviously, it was those rumors, if you remember, last off-season that could he be on the trade market and never really materialized.
Well, right, yeah.
After that, I mean, they, you know, they have to get it going because they're in a tough division. So I think they've played a little bit better and they've won a couple more games recently. But, yeah, no, there's always a team that can kind of come out of nowhere. And Ben signs a long-term deal, I think, at $9 million per. But there would be plenty of teams interested in him. I think one in Long Island. I would love to get a guy like that. I would say those trades, they want to make a hockey trade to help their team. Yeah, even if they're not going to make the playoffs this year, help their team starting next season. So usually,
well, you're talking about
deadline,
moving on from your captain. At, you know, 30 years old, and that's why I bring up Dallas, because they've picked it up a little bit in the last week, but there were the rumblings, and you remember last year the COO or whatever came out and laid the wood to him in the media, and then in the off season there was little rumblings that Ben would be available for the right package. So if they get down to that deadline, you're thinking no way till probably around the draft or postseason, even if they're not in the race.
I'll never say never, but like I said, let's take the Islanders as a perfect example. A really good team that desperately could need more scoring. That's their thing. You know, when they score enough, they win. To a guy like that, which is so hard to get, you know, obviously since John Tavares left, they haven't added, an impact scorer via a trade or a free agency like that, anywhere near like that. It's all come from within. So what is Dallas going to want? Well, they're going to want, you know, players from within their roster. They're going to probably a young defenseman. You know, they're going to probably want talented young players who are playing in the league now and producing now at low cap numbers. And oh, by the way, you can throw in a really nice draft pick and a really nice prospect to that package. So, you know, I mean, if push came to shove, would they, the Islanders who are deep on defense, trade one of their defensemen, although that's a strength for Dallas, but it's a defenseman and like an Anthony Beaulieu and then like a first-round pick or one of their top prospects? I mean, again, I mean, that's a team where, you know, Lou Lamoriello is always an aggressive person and always looking to make the team better, and those windows don't always come open. But making those kind of trades, period, are very difficult. I think the in-season part makes it even of a greater obstacle. But, I mean, like I said, certain teams, I think, would roll up their sleeves. It's definitely something to consider. I mean, but having said that, do I expect Dallas to start, as long as they can stay healthy, start to play better and start to get, you know, get to at least a point? Hey, let's not forget, the St. Louis Blues were one of the worst teams in the Western Conference. Not that they were leaps and bounds away, but they had a lot of work to do. They were second to last in the West, and maybe they had one point in December they were in last place in the Western Conference, and look where they wound up. So, but that's a good name. I like that one. That is a good name to keep an eye on down the road for future.
And then the other guy I wanted to ask you about, and you put the hodgepodge tag on the Kings, and we've heard rumblings about Jonathan Quick going back to last year's trade deadline. Kind of market do you think is out there for Quick, and I think obviously if the price was right, I think the Kings would be ready to move on from Jonathan Quick. He hasn't come out this season and lit the world on fire, to be kind. Do you think there's a market for him with the contract that he carries? I think it's $7 million, and there's –
His number isn't bad. If memory serves correct, it's around – because he signed a long-term deal a few years ago.
Right.
I think his number's around 5'8 annually, which is not a bad number. It's more of the years left on his deal,
okay,
which I don't have in front of me. I want to say it's like 3 or 4 years. Question is, it's two-prong. One is, I mean, obviously last year was not nowhere near his best year.
A little early on that one.
Yeah. So in terms of quick, you know, you want him playing at a level where you say to yourself, hey, we added this guy to our team. This is our missing piece in terms of making a run at the cup. And then, you know, what team out there is looking for a goaltender, you know, where that's at the sore spot. I think, you know, one off the top of my head could be Calgary jumps to my mind off the top of my head. But those, you know, trading goalies is tough from the standpoint of, you know, not that if Quick's playing the best of his game, like, again, I'll use the Islanders as an example. If he's at the top of his game, is he better than Thomas Rice and Varlamov? Yeah, he is. But the Islanders are doing really well with those two guys, and then how would that work with the, you know what I mean? Does that really, that's not their main thrust of what they need right now. So you kind of need that team that really is lacking in goal, if you will, but is still a really top team. So that's a tricky one to find at home, and I don't think he's not playing like the Jonathan Quick who's won those Stanley Cups to boot. So a lot of people are thinking like, hey, has he seen his better days? So
yeah,
but
he's had a share of injuries.
And he's been a little bit injury prone along the way. So that's, again, if the right situation opened up, you need a few dominoes to fall correctly for that to happen. I would put a Jamie Benn situation as much more likely than a Jonathan Quick situation.
Okay, well, that's a little quick look at some of the players that might be moving along at this year's trade deadline or before. It's Wednesday night, which is, what do they call it? Rivalry night on NBC. And since NBCSN, whatever. And since this is the Vegas Hockey Podcast, at the end of every show on Wednesdays, we're going to look at the featured game, and I'm going to give you prices and picks for entertainment purposes only, unless sports betting is legal where you are, like it is where I am. So tonight's game is the Wild versus Blues. You got Wild plus 155, and for every, you know, people that aren't really familiar with the gambling lingo, plus 155 just means that they would be the underdog, and if you bet $100, you would win $155 plus your $100 back. So the Wild's plus 155 and the Blues are minus 185. Now the minus 185 means that if you bet 100, you need to bet 185 in order to win 100. So the Blues obviously favored at home, minus 185. And if you want to play puck line, you could take the Wild plus a goal and a half. They are minus 170 favorites to be within a goal and a half. And the Blues, if you want to change the price around a little bit, St. Louis Blues minus a goal and a half, that changes your price to plus 140. So if you bet $100, you would get 140 back on the Blues minus a goal and a half. Total on the game is 5.5. Overs, the dog plus 105. Blues or the under on is the favorite minus 125. So my pick of the week on the rivalry night, I am going to lay that goal and a half with the Blues and pick up that plus 140 price. So that's my Wednesday night pick. Chris, we're just about out of time. We got 40 seconds left. Tell them about Saturday quick.
Yep. So Saturday we got our regular slot, 11 a.m. Vegas time. Big show, first-time guest. Thanks to big assist from Russ Cohen. Mike Agello will be joining us, you know, from the Hockey Buzz and various places to break down the Sabres for us and a little Maple Leafs, but mostly Sabres.
All right, that'll do it for this week's midweek report. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to the Hockey Podcast Network for having us on. For Chris on Long Island, I'm Mark in Vegas, and we're gone. We'll be right back.